He was singing, he says, take me deeper than my faith, my feet would ever wander. You hear the desire of this guy's heart as he sung this. He said, I don't want to be in the same old relationship. But I want to have a deeper relationship than ever before. So take me deeper than these feet would ever take me. And that just struck me. Like, that's powerful. And the next line says, and my faith will be made stronger. Are you willing to allow God to lead you to a place that you've never been before? It's, you know, sometimes in our relationship, any relationship, we want a certain thing. We want a certain type of relationship. And don't change it. Don't mess with it. It's okay. But the minute we are asked for commitment, are we willing to jump in further? We got real quiet in here. This is what I was looking at this week. You know, and I'm reflecting back on, you know, maybe in dating years where you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend and they want to get serious and you go, oh, hold up, no, I'm not ready for that, you know. And I want you to relate that with God. What if God is asking the same thing to you? You know, we got this relationship, but I want you to be more committed to me. Is that all right? You see, because I believe that God is pricking our hearts. In the last probably month or so, it seems like there's been something changing. Maybe it's just me. Maybe God's just dealing with me. But something is changing, and it's as if God's got his little hook out and he's pulling on that line. You know, and you're gonna fight him or are you gonna come in? And this is what I was looking at today, and to be honest with you, my plan is to just read a couple passages and be honest with you. And that's all I'm gonna do. Because I want you to hear what the Word of God says. I want you to hear what has been written by individuals that got to a place where they realized there's more to life, there's more to this relationship than just going to church and cracking open the Bible every blue moon and just falling on your knees once in a while. There's more to it. Much more. And this isn't just for pastors. This is for all of us. I want to take you to an acrostic poem or acrostic psalms. One of the longest psalms in the Bible. If you're familiar with it, you can turn there. If you're not familiar with it, it's Psalms 119. And this psalm is set up with each stanza as a start of a Hebrew alphabet. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to bring out some things in here. And And I want you to listen closely and allow the Spirit of God to guide you. Psalms 119, we're going to start with verse 9. And this section talks about how God's word provides safety, how God's word provides protection. Protection from spiritual attacks. And he says in verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be blessed. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I proclaim all the judgments from your mouth. I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways. But I obey your precepts with all my heart. Their heart, I was going to say that sounded strange to me. I would delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Let me stop there for a moment. You hear how the writer of this psalm had learned to rely upon God, had learned to trust in God, and he says, I delight in your word. I delight in your ways. I delight in what you have shown me. But the one thing that I like, he says, I sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander. You know, I want you to think about that for a moment. Don't let me wander, because I know that in my life there are weaknesses that will rise up. I know in my life that there are areas that I need God to be in control of. This is what he's saying. He says, I delight in your word, but don't let me wander, because sometimes I forget who you are. Sometimes I forget to rely upon you. Sometimes I forget to keep my eyes on you. Don't let me wander. How is that possible? How can a God remind us not to wander? Don't let me wander. You know, let me use it this way. For those of you that don't know, I am married to Coralie. Just in case. Stand up for a second. We're going to see your pretty face. And so here is my wife. And so every once in a while, she will remind me that I'm hers. How? By grabbing my hand. How? By speaking to me. How? By just reminding me, by either maybe it's a message or it's just a look. Okay? Now, how do I keep from wandering from her? I'm in a relationship with her that she is constantly reminding me, you're mine. And she's constantly letting me know that she loves me. But here's the thing. The weakness of a man is still within me. Amen? So I have to purpose in my heart, my eyes belong to her. You see? And I have to purpose in my heart that I know I love, I know I desire, I know I want. and not to forget. So the precepts of marriage need to be constantly in front of me.
How so?
Every day.
Hey, honey.
Every day.
I love you.
Every day. And it's a reminder of the relationship that we have. You see? But this is a beautiful picture. Even Jesus said it himself in the New Testament. The beautiful picture of the relationship between Christ and the church is found in a marriage as well. That we ought to love the Father, love Christ just as much as this. You see? And the precepts that are in the Word of God is, listen, you are mine. Listen, I love you. Listen, I have stated it over and over. Listen, your delight is in me. I delight in your Word. I delight being with my wife. You see? And so,
I was just trying to get brownie points.
No. And so we see, I just ruined it, didn't I? And so we see how the Word of God is brought to us, and he reminds us of who he is. He reminds us of how much he loves us. And here the psalmist is saying, I treasure every moment that I have with you. Oh, to get to that place where we desire God and treasure every moment. Don't raise your hands, but how many have spent some time with the Lord in prayer this week? More than twice. More than three times. More than four times. You see, I don't spend time with my wife. There's a disconnect. There's a disconnect. Are you staying with me this morning? There's a disconnect. And sometimes, hey, distance is good sometimes, you know. You like that reunion. But with God, there shouldn't be a distance. There shouldn't be a separation.
Amen.
You see, and that desire to be in the presence of God shouldn't be solely in church. Let me tell you, well, last night I was playing that song once again. I was sitting there, and I just had to lift up my hands and worship God. The Spirit, you guide me. You see, sometimes we think, well, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and so what I think, you know, that's what God wants, and so this is what I'm going to do. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. The Spirit leads you to an area where he would teach you, to an area where he will mature you, to an area where he will use you for his glory. Let me put it this way. Our desires sometimes conflict with the desires of God. In the book of Acts, there's a verse in which, and I have it written down here in my notes, and I know I'm all over the place this morning. We're in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, in verse 6 and 7. It says the Spirit of God basically stopped them from preaching. He says, you're not going to preach here in Asia. Move on. What? What? But Lord, you called me to preach. I'm going to preach. What? Move on. And even in another city, he says, no. His Spirit lead me. I don't understand that. But you call, when God's leading you, you listen to Him, not your desires.
Amen.
Here's another one in Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is, where Jesus went out into the wilderness to pray. But if you read that verse, you're going to find, and the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Huh? The Spirit led. Spirit lead me. What? Sometimes God will lead you to a place, and you said it, oh, this is scary. It scares the socks right off of me. Yes, sometimes the Spirit of God will lead you to a place so that you will grow in your faith. What? Spirit, lead me. You see, that should be our prayer. As we dive into the Word of God, and as we understand who God is, and we start falling in love with Him, it changes everything. I say, okay, God, you lead me. You see, my wife told me this years ago. She said, I don't want to go to another country to live. She goes, uh-uh. She goes, but if you go, I will follow you. I like that. Not because they control or nothing. I like that because I can relate that to the Spirit of God. I'm going to send you here. Spirit, lead me. I'm going to send you here. I'll go because you're leading me. Jesus went into the wilderness because the Spirit led him there. It was preparation for what was in store, the next step of the journey. It was preparation, and he had to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Look at verse 33 in chapter 119. You see, before I read that, we want God to move in our lives, in our hearts. And obedience plays a huge role. If you're not obedient in the small things, do I need to finish that? If you're not obedient in the little things, you see, we might not see any importance in certain things that we do for the glory of God. But yet, God has placed that in our lives, because if you're not obedient in the small things, son, if you can't take care of a dollar, I'm not going to give you $100. Amen? If you can't honor the little things, you know, you better not steal that little stick of gum because that's mine. Then I'm not going to put you in charge of my Mercedes-Benz. You understand what I'm saying? The extreme of this is that God is doing the same thing. He says, I have placed things in your life, and as you walk in obedience, you will see me manifest in greater things, and you will be in charge of greater things. But if you are not obedient in the small things, then why would I? Is that all right? It's something that's been on my heart this week as I was reading this. And so, let's go with verse 33. of Psalms 119. Now this is a section where it talks about the total dedication, a commitment. He says, teach me, Lord, the meaning of your decrees. Excuse me. And I will always keep them. Help me understand your instruction, and I will obey it and follow it with all my heart. Help me stay on a path of your commands, for I take pleasure in it. Let me stop there for a second. I don't like correction. Personally, I don't like correction. I hate it. And I don't think there's anyone in here that would say, oh, I love to be corrected. You know? No. But when the correction comes from the Lord, I've learned to appreciate it. I've learned to love it. And here's why. Because God is teaching me and guiding me. And when he corrects something in my life, it's because he is creating in me a cleaner heart. You see, and we as believers, let me be very careful here. Everyone here, as far as I know, has asked the Lord into their heart and they're saved. So we're clean. But yet there are areas in our lives that are still a little dusty. There are areas in our lives that still have cobwebs. There's areas in our lives that there might be a little stain here and there. No one else sees it. And God's word has a tendency of focusing on those areas. So boy, you or daughter, you are mine, but you said you have a clean heart. But I see, I need you to deal with this. You know? I want you to imagine once more what I was saying earlier with my wife. As we walk down the road together hand in hand, and let's just say,
it did happen, okay?
But let's just say that a pretty thing comes across the way. Hand in hand.
Come here for a second once again. You still love me.
Hand in hand. And once again, as we're walking, what do you think she's going to do? Pretty much, if I'm lucky. But here's the thing. She's going to call me out on it. But what are you looking at? Oh, that rock over here? What are you looking at? Because you ought to be looking at me. And she'll say, you ought to be looking at me. Exactly. But here's the thing. There's cobwebs, and she will call me out on it. But God does the same thing with us. There's an issue here. You're looking elsewhere for love. You're looking elsewhere for something that doesn't belong to you. I'm right here. You need to focus on me. Turn your attention to me. See? God is doing the same thing. As his word comes forth, as his word is being declared, he is making sure that if we are focusing on the wrong thing, he's saying, look over here. Eyes eyes up here. Because that is not yours. We see that so many times in the scriptures, in the Old Testament especially, where the Israelites, God called them, you idolaters, you have left me. You are my people, but you left me. How? Because you're looking at something else. Spirit, lead me. You want the Spirit to lead you? He will let you know if there needs to be cleaning done. And not just spring cleaning once a year. But an everyday, daily cleansing is needed. Amen?
Amen.
And so he continues on. He says, help me stay on the path of your commands, for I take pleasure in it. Turn my heart to your decrees, and not to dishonest profit. Turn my eyes from looking at what is worthless, and give me life in your ways. Confirm what you said to your servant, for it produces reverence for you. Turn away the disgrace I dread. Indeed, your judgments are good. How I long for your precepts. Give me life through your righteousness. I'm going to tell you right now, there is joy when you allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of those areas. There's joy when you allow the Holy Spirit to point out those areas and that you change. You see, there will be joy if I don't look anywhere else but my wife. Less painful as well. You see, because that is what it's all about. No one else matters except her. You see. The other day we were at a restaurant. It wasn't in the sermon. The other day. And we're sitting. I decided to take my wife out. She had been a little stressed out, you know, and so I took her out to a Red Lobster. We only do that once a year, you know, something like that. And so this was stimulus check, Red Lobster. And so anyway, so $1,400 later. No. So we're sitting there, and our waitress comes over and she's asking, you know, do we need anything? But she's constantly just looking at me. And I'm getting a little antsy now, you know? And I said, honey, I think this girl is just, she keeps looking at me. She's making me nervous. And so the next time the woman comes around, Coralie now is, her eyes are now open, you know? Her nails got longer for some reason. But she's sitting there and she says something, you know, and of course the girl responds, and the girl is constantly looking at me. And here's the thing. My eyes are only on her. You see, it's important that we make sure that nothing distracts us. You know, I'm like, you know, honey, what you need? You know, it's one of those deals. You know, her name was Tiffany.
What's the name?
If you remember the last couple Sundays ago.
Because Coralie automatically said, well, is her name Kayla? No, it's Tiffany.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know why.
So anyways, and so we see that it is important that we stay focused on what is true. That the enemy will throw distractions no matter what. And if we don't listen to the voice of reasoning, then we miss out. A couple of weeks ago we were at a store. And my wife and I are at the store, and she goes, honey, you don't want to go down that aisle. Okay. Don't turn around. Okay. Now look the other way. And later on, she told me, she said, there was a lady there. She was bending over, and you just seen everything, you just in a thong or something like that, or something like that. Well, can I say that in church?
You already did.
Everybody's on recording now.
And so, I never went down that aisle, but I listened to the voice of reasoning. It was protecting me. It was watching out for me. Why? Because she loved me. Why? Because she wanted to make sure that there was nothing that was going to harm me. The Holy Spirit does the same thing. The Holy Spirit would say, hey, listen, I don't want you to go there. You just seen that in the book of Acts. I don't want you to go preach over there. Why? It doesn't matter why. I'm telling you, you need to go somewhere else. Holy Spirit, me. And sometimes it seems odd, but we need to listen to the voice of God. Because at times it is there to protect as well as to mature. But it's there to protect. Because you can stop a lot of heartache if you just listen to the voice of reason. You know, if I went down that aisle, oh, good Lord, my evening would have been terrible. Yep. You see? But thank God. Thank God for the voice of reason. Yeah. And so here, as the psalmist is writing this, he says, how I long for your precepts. I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me. I want you to be in control so that I know that I'm not going to mess up because my ears are going to be on what you say. You see, we need to be transformational Christians. We get saved and we stay the same. That's not right. We get saved, we should be changed, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. Amen. Constantly changing us, constantly renewing us, constantly affecting our lives inside and out. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I really wanted to read Psalms 119, but that's such a long Psalms. That's your homework. Ephesians chapter 3. I love the writings of Paul. In writing to the Gentile churches, and he's reminded them. He's reminding them who they are in Christ. And so in his letter, in the Ephesians letter, we find that he is promoting unity. He's promoting love. He's promoting following after Christ. Well, you get to chapter 3. And there's a prayer there that I want to focus on this morning. Excuse me. Now, he's not focused on doctrine at this moment, but he's focusing on that. Experiencing God, the knowledge of experiencing God. He wants them to get to a place where they experience love. They experience the love of Christ. They experience the move of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit guides and directs. You can't teach that. I can't teach you what it is to be married to Coralie. I can only tell you the do's and don'ts of a relationship. Okay? And so you will not understand until you experience that kind of relationship on your own. And so I can tell you the do's and don'ts in the Word of God, what God has called us to do and what God has told us to avoid. But until you experience the Spirit of God in your life, you cannot truly understand what I'm talking about. And so Paul, he's writing to the Ephesians, and this is what he says in chapter 3. If you go down to verse 14, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit." He says, this is my prayer to you. I want you to be filled. I want you to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. I want you to experience what it is that God can do in your life. We can talk about what God can do. We can share about what God can do, but we need to experience the fullness of God. Are you with me? If your neighbor's asleep, just nudge him a little. And so here he continues on. He says, "The inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, width, height, and depth of God's love." He says, I want you to get to a place where, he says, with all the saints, to where you understand what God is all about in that fellowship of the saints. The love of God. What do you mean by that? What God is all about, what all the saints' love of God. Well, you can't truly understand the love of God if you hate someone in this church. Amen. I only had one amen. A couple nods. You see, because that's what it's all about. When we grasp the understanding of what love is, we're going to love the bum on the street. We're going to love that person that stinks. We're going to love that person that doesn't look like you do. We're going to love that person that is a different color, different race. We're going to love that individual. Why? Because God has affected us from the inside out. Spirit, lead me. Well, I ain't going to love. Then the Spirit is not leading you. And we'll tell you that right now. If you cannot love that individual, then something's wrong. That's in the Bible. That's not the book of Garces. And so here he continues on. He says, "And to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge." Huh? You can know the Bible from front to maps and not understand the love of God. And he says, that surpasses knowledge, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He's saying, you need to experience the love of God. We can teach you the love of God. You can listen and preach about the love of God. But until you experience the love of God, you will never understand it. Spirit, lead me, that I may understand what the love of God is. And it's deeper than what we can ever imagine. And he goes on to say, to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I stopped there and I'm like, so am I a cup half empty, half full, or what? What's the deal here? Have I experienced the fullness of God? I think I'm still working at that. I'm not quite there yet. The fullness of God is when we allow the Spirit of God to direct us in every aspect of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Every aspect of our lives, and not just on Sunday. Let's finish this one off. It says, now to him that is, who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so here, he says, it is not in our power, but it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not in our ability, but it's through when we allow the Spirit of God to guide us, that's how we're able to do this. You know, it's kind of hard to grasp that concept. What, I can't do this on my own? No, you cannot. But when the Spirit of God leads you, it changes everything. There's a longing to experience the presence of God. I've come across a quote, and it kind of related to what I was reading. I said, we participate in his love now. We're exposed to his grace. Yet there's another dimension of his love that we haven't been exposed to. That's deep. If you think about it, that's deep. Excuse me. Oh, you're waiting for me to say something more? Okay. And so here we see what the Word of God has to say to us. Because that letter was written to the church. That letter was to remind them that God was calling them out. How many of you desire a deeper walk with God? That's a commitment. That's a commitment. The minute I put on this ring, that was a commitment. It says, I will love unconditionally. I, in sickness and in health, for richer or for richer. For richer or for poor. Until death do us part. Her version, even in death, then you better be. She already threatened me. You better never marry a kid. It was a commitment. A commitment that it's a reminder on my finger. I don't understand, and this is not directed to anyone. Not that there's no one here like this, but this is not directed to anyone. But I've encountered people on the outside, and they said, I slipped up, I did this. I'm thinking, you have a reminder on your finger, you know? And even if you still are reminded because you're taking it off for some reason. You see what I'm saying? But yet, we have a similar thing. You are the bride of Christ. So he has purchased you. You're his. Until death, you're still his. For richer, for poor, for better, for worse. In sickness and in health, you're still his. And the commitment that you have made between him . How are you doing? You know, here's the challenge for this morning. How intentional are you with God? Spirit, lead you. How intentional are you with God? Here, I'll give you a small definition. When you're being intentional, you choose to make decisions and take action on what is really important to you. Being intentional means getting clear up front about what you want to achieve, a specific outcome or result in the future. How intentional are you with God? What is it that you are going to achieve? Because if the Spirit is to guide you, then that means you have to be very intentional and follow Him. Is that right? I know this is a very somber kind of message. I can't get excited, but I get excited for the fact that when God gets a hold of us and we listen to His voice, things start to change in our lives. God starts one. I'm going to throw this one out. A little while ago, I remember someone was attending our small group. And someone in the group was going to leave early. And another person said, hey, be careful. Hey, maybe you should stick around. And they chose not to listen to the voice of reasoning. The people in the small group know who we're talking about. And there was about, I think, three warnings. They were very subtle. Now, reflecting back upon it, we see how important it was if they had listen to the voice of reasoning, they wouldn't have gotten into a predicament that they got into. Now, was it God? I strongly believe it was. Because they had encountered some things that they wouldn't have encountered. And I believe God was showing His power but in a very subtle way. Sometimes God doesn't say, hey! Sometimes God says, psst. He does. Sometimes God will speak to us in a small, still voice. See? It was scriptural. You were looking at me like, sometimes God will speak to us in a small, still voice, using others to show his power, to show his how he wants to step into our lives and manifest in a greater manner. And if we don't listen, then we deal with what is dealt with, what is given to us. You see? Spirit, lead me. There's so much more, and I'm just barely touching it, the tip of the iceberg when I talk about Spirit lead us. Because there's so much more that can be said concerning the church as a whole when we allow the Spirit of God to lead us. There's so much more. Because the Word of God says that He has given many people gifts in the Spirit so that He can lead and direct in the service, in the congregation, in a group setting. Are you hearing me? So, how intentional are you with God? That's the question I want to leave for you this morning. How intentional are you with God? Let's all stand this morning. I don't know what you're struggling with, what you're dealing with, but I do know that there is a God that is able. Amen. Above and beyond what you can ever imagine, the Word of God says, He is able. So if you have a need this morning, let us get together to pray. If you have a need this morning, the altars are open. As Aaron starts playing the song, I want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're struggling with things in your life, and you're unsure how to listen to the voice of God. How can God direct my life? There are times in our lives that we might not understand why God